Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Dr. John Chuback. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of the Vein and Lymphatic Specialist podcast. I have with me today, as usual, my very dear friend and business partner, Mr. Christopher Ticchio. Chris, how are you?
I'm wonderful, John. How are you?
Living the dream, living the dream.
Living the dream in Grand Old, New Jersey. Another exciting podcast.
Yes, exactly. Rainy day today, mm-hmm. But there is sun shining on us because we have a very special guest. Someone who has been through quite a journey and is hopefully going to share that with us so that we can all learn and grow together in this field. Today, we're not talking about venous disease. Today, we're going to be talking about lymphatic disease, and we are not speaking with a clinician. We're speaking with an individual who is related to this world in other ways, and it's going to be very interesting. So let me introduce our guest, Amanda Sobey, who since 2002 has been dealing with lymphedema, and she recently was participating in a very, very important fitness contest that we're going to learn all about. And she has become passionate about sharing her personal trials and tribulations that she's gone through as she's learned about lymphedema. And we're going to talk about how she found out about that and what she's done and to deal with it and to cope with it and to minimize any signs and symptoms she has. She is also a personal trainer, and she's a motivational speaker. She's a lifestyle coach, and she considers herself a lymphedema warrior. So we love that. Amanda, welcome aboard.
Hi there. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Great. Chris, why don't you start with the first question and get the ball rolling?
Well, I would love to know. So we read a little bit. I read a little bit about your bio as I see it on LinkedIn. And in 2002, you had mentioned that you had developed lymphedema.
Yeah.
So maybe you could just tell our listeners, I guess, what happened in 2002, the day that you saw these symptoms, and where it led you. What happened on that day?
On that day, it was kind of a convoluted story because there was about two situations that happened within a week's time of one another that I never really got clarification on or assistance to really figure out the heart of the matter. What I do know is that both of these instances developed secondary lymphedema. The first instance was I got a bug bite on my thigh from a mosquito, and through research, there's the parasite known as filariasis that can cause elephantitis. I live up in Canada, and I was living on the West Coast at the time. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen the Simpsons episode where the mosquito flies out of the shipping container and they bite you and then they die. I had a really weird reaction. I was never able to get assistance. I went to three different travel clinics, wanted to order the test. So I don't know if this is what caused secondary lymphedema. I just remember that this bug bite was really, really weird.
That's fascinating.
And I just remember that.
Unbelievable story.
And then a week later, I happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, where I was actually physically assaulted at random, just a very heinous, weird situation that left me very sick, I suppose you would say. This instant left me with very badly beaten up.
It's a terrible story. I had no idea.
Well, just wrong place, wrong time, I suppose. And crazy stuff happens in this world all day long, right? And you ask why and what and how, but I guess it becomes now part of my story. So long story short, I couldn't walk on my foot. I thought I had sprained it in the altercation. And I put a tensor bandage on my foot, and I put some A535 because that stuff always works. And I thought it would just get better and it'd be a sprain and no big deal. 3 weeks after hopping around on one foot, still, I couldn't put any pressure on it. I immediately took off the bandage, and right before my eyes, my foot puffed up and swelled. And I was like, wow, that's totally crazy. Like this happened within 3 seconds. And then, of course, you watch it go from your foot to your ankle to your calf, and then eventually it's in my whole entire leg. And then I was like, maybe I should see a doctor. So I finally went to the doctor, being in denial and all, and they referred me to a lymphatic specialist where they did the radioactive dye in between my toes to watch the molecules move up. And all they said was, oh, we see that your lymphatic system is compromised. And I was kind of thinking, like, in my head, after spending an entire day at the doctor's, that's all you have to tell me? Like, I could have told you that. Basically handed me a prescription for compression garments and said, here, you're just going to have to wear compression garments for the rest of your life. You will need a massage called MLD. Do yourself a service and look into it. But other than that, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, it sounds like that was a formal lymphoscintigraphy, which is not everybody gets that. So it was good that you had it, and at least you confirmed what was a fairly obvious clinical diagnosis. And then you were on your way. Then you were at the beginning of the path of a new stage of your life that you had never anticipated that you would experience.
That's right. And so I guess the one benefit is that the doctor that I had seen, my GP, did refer me to a lymphatic specialist. Mm. So he was he knew about the condition, which I think it was a blessing and a curse, because once you find out that you can't do anything about something, it's really not a very comforting feeling. Yeah. That sent me through a really big depression and a really big spiral, because I was 22 at the time.
Right.
My legs were long and slender, and then now I'm disfigured and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
My shoes went from nice shoes to running shoes. My clothes went from nice clothes to wearing man's jeans, because that's all that fit.
Yeah, I can imagine. This had to be a devastating period for you.
Going forward, I went through about it took a long time for me to get my compression garments. I was very much in denial, especially back in the day. All the colors were bland and medical looking. And at 22 years old, like, the last thing you want to be doing is wearing medical supplies. And then also as well, too, the way how I received the condition made me uninsurable. So paying for garments was very costly. So getting the proper care to wear them was hard. So not only did I have the denial factor, they really weren't very fashion friendly.
It's interesting you mention it not being covered, because we have so many, we're recording here in the United States, and I'm a physician here in the United States, and we have so many people here who believe that, the system in Canada is perfect. You know, everything is covered and everything is free and everything is this and everything is that. And again, no system is perfect. And we have our own problems with coverage in the lymphedema space here in the United States. So it's good to hear that, that you are being candid and truthful about that, because a lot of the healthcare systems around the world really need to recognize this disorder and get behind it financially, so people can have access to all the care that they need.
Well, and here's the loophole. On the one side, people who have had cancer who get lymphedema, everything's covered. Everything's paid for. But the way how I have it, the way how I received it, is basically makes me uninsurable. I can't get health insurance. I don't get support for garments. Do some employers, if you get benefits through your working package, you may get, I think, $500 for the year, which basically purchases, I think, 2.5 boxes of garments for me. And I think that there's sometimes you might get assistance for paying for a pump, but again, that's a nominal contribution.
Right.
So I finally got my garments and I finally got fitted properly, and they were a dream. Like, once I found the right manufacturer and the right size and the right fit, they're very comfortable and they're very helpful, and I have a very hard time going without them, actually. So I think that turned into a positive, but it was a really long time for it to actually work. So don't give up to anybody who's listening. If you haven't gotten fitted, or if garments don't fit right, just go and get a second opinion and just keep trying.
Well, for our patients that are listening, would you mind sharing the manufacturer's name if there are other sufferers out there looking for, fitted garments?
Absolutely. There's four that I would very highly recommend. You have Medi, you have Sigvaris, you have Juzo, and you have BSN Medical.
What fascinated me about your story is we were reading it up on LinkedIn. I was really fascinated in the health and fitness contest that you were involved in. Is it Miss Health or Miss Muscle and Fitness? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was amazing. I ended up submitting my name into the Muscle and Fitness magazine. There was a, they had an ad on Facebook to say anybody can basically register, and it was kind of a round robin event where every level there were 7 rounds, and if you were voted on through your social media followers and your fan base, you would proceed to the next level. I made it all the way up to round 5. It was crazy. I think I gotten the lead around round 4, and I lost it. I didn't get to go on to round 6.
Oh, that's incredible.
Unfortunately.
Now, this wasn't for lymphedema sufferers, right? This was for all comers, correct?
This was for worldwide. There was thousands of women that were there.
Unbelievable. Your fitness, now, did you have to train to get in shape for this, or was that through your personal development previously? How did the timing of those two things coincide?
It was really crazy because I started my Facebook page starting of January 1st this year to share my story, to share my journey. Like, I really started to commit to wanting to expose and help and motivate and influence other people. And in doing so, part of my journey, which I don't know if people know about, but I've turned myself into a bodybuilder. My first competition was in 2017, which I actually won. That was crazy. And so I've been competing every year since. So I finished my last competition this year, 2019, in June. And then that Muscle and Fitness advertisement had popped up, I think, just shortly after. So I was already at that point in time where I was like, well, maybe we'll just keep going and see how far we could go. And like I said, I was doing so good. I was in first place. I lost it at the very, very final hour.
For the listeners on today's podcast who maybe got the diagnosis today or a week ago and they feel, like you said, frustrated and alone and a little lost. Maybe you can mention and tell our listeners about any specific lymphedema or lipedema organizations that either you reached out to or you found comfort in or information that helped you along your way that some of these newbies maybe just don't know about.
Now we have, like in Canada, we have the Canadian Lymphedema Framework. In each province, there's a lymphedema or association. So if you live in a certain province up in Canada, you would just type, you know, Lymphedema Association of Manitoba. That's where I'm from. Or if the correlating province, there should be an association there. For down in the States, you have the National Lymphedema Network. You also have LEARN, L-E-R-N. I think that's becoming the huge forefront to groundbreak a lot of research. So that's been amazing. There's LANA. That people can reach out to. There's also over in the United Kingdom, there's a lymphedema support network. So anytime that you type in lymphedema, there's a lot of resources now. Based on social media and like Instagram and Facebook, you can find groups and support groups there if you just type in the word lymphedema or lymphedema.
That's great. That's wonderful. One thing I want to know, and I'm sure all our listeners want to know, is I think in your LinkedIn profile, you said, if I knew then what I know now, reducing edema to the thing of the past. My question is, what do you know? What can our listeners benefit from?
First thing that I know is that it is possible. So I'm proof to your pudding. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Don't let the words no cure devastate you. I lost years of myself. Being depressed and just the hardships and the self-esteem and just the devastation, and you just take things personally. So the first thing, piece of advice is forget what you know and just go for it. Mm. The second piece of advice is it can be done. It's not a quick fix. It's not a magic pill. It's not just one thing. I've done this 100% organically and naturally. So it basically involved every single thing in my life. I had to switch careers because of stress. Stress is a trigger. So if you're in a highly stressful environment, I would very much encourage you to get out of that environment. Mm-hmm. You need to treat your body like a temple. You know, you are what you eat.
When we have guests on our show, oftentimes and more often than not, the topic and the talking point of diet always arises. And there are many believers in the keto diet, and people believe that certain foods, as we all seem to know now, cause inflammation and you're in a constant inflammatory state. Is there a specific diet that you adhere to or that you would recommend lymphedema sufferers stick to?
I've done the keto diet, I've done the paleo diet, I've done the vegan, the raw, you name it, I've done it. I have actually taken all of those disciplines and I've kind of rolled it into my own new lifestyle. I think for people, the hardest thing is sustainability. I also think there's cost involved. If it's too expensive of a diet, you can't sustain it. I base it on the glycemic index. I base it on, as well as knowing what your foods that cause inflammation to stay away from. Mm-hmm. I do low carbohydrate. If I do have a carbohydrate, I'm going for the healthiest version of a carbohydrate, not a refined carbohydrate.
Right.
I do have a healthy proportion of fats in my diet.
My question is how do you balance lack or reduce carbohydrate intake and fitness? Because I find that I can't. You know, from someone who is very active when it comes to cardiovascular fitness, you know, whether it be at the gym training, intense cardio, and then strength training, I've tried the keto diet just for my own, you know, personal experience. I find it very difficult to do that in conjunction with intense workouts. I just feel sluggish. It's almost as if, you know, fat and protein just isn't enough or the right fuel for me to get me through a workout. Do you find, I mean, you sound like you're very active, especially if you're doing, you know, health and fitness, you know, challenges. How do you do a keto diet without carbs? I mean, that's always been...
Well, see, I don't do keto at all. Like, oh, like I said, I tried it, but I don't do it all. I do have a lower carbohydrate diet. Mm. So that's what I have pulled from there. And I have high fat. I look at food as fuel. It's kind of like chemistry. I love chemistry. So part of my food science and what I've done and trained myself is that when I look at food, I actually look at kind of the molecular composition and figuring out, okay, if I have an apple, for example, what's in it? There's going to be sugars. There's going to be fiber. There's going to be things that naturally promote certain healthy traits too. I look at everything that way. So I've gotten very familiar with my labels. I've gotten very familiar with all sources of food, and that's how I identify of what I put into my body. So when I'm fueling myself, I know the exact type of fuel that I'm putting in, because on a molecular level, I need to build muscle, right? I need to reduce my inflammation. And if I'm feeding myself food that is going to do nothing but cause me inflammation or cause me hassle, or if it's not going to give me the energy that I want, then I don't eat it.
What would you say to those who are avoiding the big topic, you know, nowadays is obviously, you know, dairy or no dairy. And if I'm a lymphedema sufferer, would you consider dairy an inflammatory? I know everybody's different body, meaning, you know, physical body that you're treating or that you're looking at. So from a training perspective, and especially from a diet perspective, is dairy a culprit or not, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it is a culprit. Definitely. However, there's always a little bit of chalk milk after a workout seems to repair the muscles very well. So there's always controversy. But if you look at dairy in itself, mammals, we're the only ones that still drink milk into our adulthood. Most mammals, they stop drinking milk after their infancy stage. Also, to the lactase that's in dairy specifically, it's very hard on the stomach. The older people get, you have people get lactose intolerant. The cheeses, all that stuff, anything dairy-wise, I do believe does cause extra inflammation. I just completely cut it out. If people want a happy medium or a happy compromise, I'll suggest goat's milk because that's a lot softer for people to digest. And if they still want to have a creamy substance, I make a lot of things with coconut milk, almond milk, cashew milk. Not so much with cashew milk because that's also a debatable kind of a topic. If I like the creaminess of certain sauces and dressings, I'll use actually eggs to make things creamy. So instead of missing out on the cream aspect of my diet, I just learned how to substitute my way using safer ingredients.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Well, obviously, as a company that prides itself on being a manufacturer of very high quality and importantly, affordable dietary supplementation, particularly, you know, our cornerstone cornerstone ingredient is micronized purified flavonoid fraction, which typically is found in citrus fruits. We obviously believe that nutrition and diet are a huge part of the answer to this problem, not only lymphatic problems, but venous problems as well. Have you had any personal experience with dietary supplementation or flavonoids and micronized purified flavonoids?
I love my flavonoids. Absolutely, for sure. It's so important because, first off, it's the way how our food is growing, first and foremost. I think people are wondering why we're getting sicker as a nation. There are better ways that we can feed our people. As far as going into flavonoids and that whole component, absolutely. There is so much available. I mean, I think we're starting to finally, which is cool, get into the marketplace of really researching our foods, our plants, and figuring out how they help, how they have that biochemical reaction inside of our bodies, figure out what works first, and take that time and put out good information, good education. And it's okay if we have conflicting opinions, because that's how conversations start. That's how you create different perspectives and different thoughts. But there's no need or there's no reason why we can't all work together to achieve a healthy nation. At least that's my opinion.
I totally agree. You know, you touched on something there, how it affected every aspect of your life. And as a physician, I see this every day. And I thought, if you feel comfortable, I'd love to get your thoughts on how lymphedema can affect one's social life, quite frankly, because I see it every day in my practice. And it's not something I see talked about all that much in media and so on and so forth. So can you give us some insights there?
Absolutely. I would love to. So for me personally, and I will be honest, I still hide my leg. I'm trying to wear more dresses and be free and to just go. I think when I first had the altercation and I swelled up like a balloon, I just immediately wanted to hide. So from a social implication, I didn't want to engage with people. Nobody could relate with me. I didn't have the energy, or I didn't like even just playing sports. Like I would try to play sports. I would try to engage. And I always did keep up my fitness. So there was one thing that I did do for myself, but, you know, playing soccer, for example, trying to find soccer socks and soccer shin pads to fit around my swollen leg was incredibly hard and incredibly painful. So your social aspect, your social circle changes, as well as, too, people just think, oh, well, you're just swelling, like no big deal. The psychological implications of the discomfort and the pain and just the heaviness of the limb, it completely just derails you. And I know, too, going further on to my quest, I was dealing with a client today, and we were talking about how we feel like the black sheep because we'll go out in public and we can't eat the same. So people will make fun of me for the way how I eat. Mm-hmm. Or it's very sad because here I'm like, well, look at what I did. Like I totally transformed my body by doing these certain steps, by eating properly and exercising. Now I'm being shamed for something amazing.
Most of the time, you know, I mean, to be personal with our listeners as well, you know, I for the longest time suffered from, you know, irritable bowel. And, you know, for the longest time, I was on a very strict diet. And I was, you know, in the late 1990s, did a gluten-free diet when there was no such thing of it. And, you know, made my own bread from almond flour. And I needed to do what I needed to do in order to feel better. And you'd be surprised of the looks, the comments, the teasing of what I wasn't allowed to eat, or why don't you just eat that? I mean, at the end of the day, you have to take care of yourself. And frankly, I don't really care what the other person at the other side of the table thinks of my diet.
Right.
You have to do what's right for you, because I live in this body and I'm the one in discomfort. So, you know.
I think for me, I never met anybody with lymphedema until like I actually overcame the condition. So right. I was very isolated. There's nobody that could relate to me. My family didn't know how to help me. I didn't get the proper medical garments. And then also on a sexual side, you're not willing to like going into relationships. There's that element of scariness, oh my goodness, this person's going to think that I'm hideous or what have you. And it's funny, everybody that's seen me, they were like, Amanda, I don't get it. They never saw me for my leg. But for me, it was the size of like Jupiter, right? Like for me, it was like, but like it's huge. So That whole psychological body dysmorphia, really, I'm starting to learn about that a lot more now, especially that I'm coming out of my recovery with this condition. But it affects, if you don't feel good about yourself socially, people are going to pick up on it. People want to try to include you, but they don't know how.
Right.
They want to help you, but they don't know how. And I think you want the help, but then you don't know how to ask for the help either, because so many people keep on telling you that there's no cure. And it's just this horrible kind of
cycle,
hamster wheel that you get stuck in. Absolutely.
Right.
And I'm here to let people know that if you're feeling that, that's 100% normal. Just keep going. Don't stop. Listen to people that are ahead of you. Listen to the people that, you know, have gone and made a difference with their lymphedema. There are starting to pop up a lot more of us natural lymphies that are doing things and reversing the hands of time, listening to the things that we do know. And I find that that is now my new social life. That's where I am getting recharged and invigorated. That's where my social status is starting to bloom and help me grow as a person, because I have been isolated for like 18 years, right? So it's been crazy.
That's fascinating. Well, for our listeners who want to get in touch with you and seek your advice and counsel and training, how do they go about doing that? I mean, do you have a website? Do you have a phone number or a social media page that you could share with our listeners?
Absolutely. If you go under Google and you Google my name, you'll see me all over the front page, which is awesome. You can find my website at
amandasolis.com. Let's stop right there and just make sure everybody has the proper spelling of your name, because it's not like the soft drink. It's a little different, right?
No, actually, well, we have a grocery store up in Canada called Sobeys. So if they're listening, they can totally reach out. I have a couple of ideas for cooking anyways, so it would be a really great mix.
So but, it's Amanda Sobey, S-O-B-E-Y, correct?
Yeah, S as in Sam, O, B as in Bob, E-Y. So that's my website. You can Google search my name. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. My tag, yeah, and I'm also on YouTube trying to get more videos out there for everybody. And if anybody's wanting help or just to talk or to ask a question, please feel free to find me. I would love to talk with you and just let you know that it's going to be okay. And thank you very much for your time. Thank you for having me in your circle and on this podcast.
We enjoyed having you. And Dr. Chubeck and I often comment on, especially in the lymphedema space as opposed to other spaces, I have never met more passionate people about a certain subject. I'm sure our listeners take a lot of comfort in our guests speak about the subject matter, because not only, like I said before, not only are you empathetic, you're sympathetic. The most of our guests have some form of a lymphatic issue. And when you share your story and you open the door to provide help to those listeners, I can't tell you what amazing things it does. So thank you for joining us.
And I'm going to jump in there. You know, one of my favorite things, I bring it up a lot, but I think it was Catherine Sale who came up with this. And if it wasn't, I typically give her credit, so I apologize whoever did. But Catherine often posts, you know, it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. You know, it's so easy for patients to... And not just with regard to this disease, with any disease, you know, venous disease, people come to me and they say, doctor, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. I say, yeah, I haven't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we like, for some reason, to blame ourselves, which isn't fair. So I love this statement for lipedema and lymphedema and Durkheim's. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And people need to know that. And then the other thing that I was going to point out, as a physician, a board certified general surgeon, cardiovascular surgeon with a lot of experience and training, it's important for patients to understand that when a physician tells you that a disease or disorder is incurable or has no cure, oftentimes that's clinically correct, but it doesn't mean that it's not treatable or manageable.
Right.
There's a big difference.
Right.
We're managing people with hypertension, with hypercholesterolemia, with diabetes, with lymphedema, with lipedema, with venous insufficiency, and on and on and on and on and on. So I want the message to be clear to sufferers out there with any of these disorders that when you hear or read or learn that the disorder is incurable, that doesn't mean it's untreatable or unmanageable, but you do have to do what Amanda has done, and you have to treat and manage it.
You have to make changes.
And right, and that can be, you know, a significant amount of work. And when you do that, you can see extraordinary results, which Amanda Sobey has seen, which is a great, great example, a shining beacon for everyone else to realize that if they do everything they can, not everybody's going to get Amanda's results, but if they do everything they can maximize and optimize their own clinical situation and their own health, and that's all that any of us can ever ask of ourselves. Makes
sense?
Totally
agree. Health is a journey that is both everyone's responsibility. It is your responsibility. Nobody can do it for you, and this affects absolutely everything. It's kind of the whole, I think the analogy of put your own oxygen mask on first if you're in an airplane kind of mentality
like
comes
that.
Into play.
I like that.
They never have to tell me twice.
Yeah, it is your own responsibility, and you have to take it seriously, because if you don't take it seriously, then the consequences are going to be your symptoms, right? And that's no fun.
Right, and I think, you know...
And it doesn't happen overnight, too. So people that think that they want something fixed tomorrow, my life has been a journey. My life has not been easy. It hasn't just happened overnight. I get up every single day, and I have to train hard every single day. There are some days that, you know, I don't want to get up. There are some days I don't want to deal with what's on my plate. I think we all feel that same way.
Yeah.
Some days I do take that day off. Right? Some days I do take that mental checkout day, but it all in part, I definitely have put forth a lot of consistency, effort, and my own personal research, and I'm very happy to be that beacon for so many people. Yes, you might not want to look like a bodybuilder like myself, but if you're looking to build muscle and get in shape, I can totally help you out. And surround yourself with the people who want to help you. Surround yourself with your good doctors, your good therapists, your good support networks, people that push you to be better. You are who you keep. So if you surround yourself with people who kind of expect and want more of you, nature's way, you're going to want and deserve more for yourself. And it'll evolve over time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is all great advice. You should be very proud of yourself. We're certainly very proud of what you've accomplished and what you've done and what you're doing for others. And I want to close by saying, Amanda Sobey, it has been our real pleasure to have you on the program, get to know you better. I'm certain that this is just the beginning and that we will be in contact with you in the future and over the years. And who knows, hopefully, maybe do some things together to support you in your competitive quests as a company and so on and so forth. The sky's the limit and the opportunities are endless, but we have to stay together as a community to bring awareness and shed light on this significant problem so that more people can continue to get the help and care they need and the knowledge they need to be the best that they can be.
Excellent. Thanks again, Amanda. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day. Try and stay dry.
You as well. Thanks again.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you.